Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
How difficult would it be to defend Karen Reed? Just considering how, I guess, loose of a cannon she seems to be, or lack of candor, or lack of knowing when to shut up, that seems to be quite a difficulty for her, not only from the doc, but again, every time she's on the court steps and mics go in front of her, she just can't seem to help herself and to speak into them and say incriminating things about herself without seeming to even understand it.
In the criminal defense world, we often talk about client control. And what that means is sort of protecting your client from themselves, from them doing something that could substantially harm their case. But when you have a client who is kind of headstrong, who at least by some accounts sort of seeks out media attention, that kind of thing, and then on top of that, who doesn't present terribly well in the public eye, that's a recipe for disaster, and it can be terribly frustrating for a defense attorney.
And it feels like initially, you know, she presented okay the first round. I mean, meaning people thought she was hot, and that's about it. Nobody really knew a whole lot more. But now that we've gotten to see the real Karen, more than just a single Dateline episode or anything, and we've seen her outlook, her lack of empathy for the victims' families, for these kids that have been harassed that have absolutely nothing to do with this case, It's been pretty shocking. And now that we're also seeing pretty damn clear evidence that looks like collusion, not been charged yet. But I mean, come on, when we're talking about her having 40 plus hours talking to the blogger, and we know what was the context of these conversations, where are we going there? Do you think we're going to see charges here of collusion at some point? Could that happen during jury selection, which is going on as of this recording? Could it come during the trial? Could it happen after the trial? And how serious could that be for Karen Reed and possibly even her attorneys, especially when we looked at some of those texts, strings back and forth between the blogger and them? It seems they were pretty on board with witness intimidation, at the very least. That's my conjecture. Again, no charges there yet, but, you know, you can read and go, this doesn't look very good.
There is surely a legal concern about witness intimidation and whether that can be tied to Karen Reed and or her attorneys. And in my appraisal, government, if they did bring charges, they would probably have to do it after the trial because they would need to establish that the witnesses were in fact intimidated. And the way you usually establish that is if a witness fails to appear or if a witness gets on the stand and testifies under oath that, hey, I'm super scared to be here and I'm really worried for my safety based on what this side was doing to me, but I'm here. I think the government would be prudent to wait and see what happens with those witnesses at the trial before they brought such charges, but not out of the realm of possibility.
Would that be an interesting move for those witnesses not to appear? What sort of consequences could they face if they say, I'm not going because I fear for my safety? And I think it's a very legitimate concern, considering how vile some of these people are. If I were a witness and I had nothing to do with this and I'm being accused of something heinous, and you have this rabid pack of people out there with pink shirts that want to crucify you, yeah, I think I'm going to sit that out and let the courts do whatever they want to do. Want to put me away for a week or whatever? That'd be an interesting move against Karen if these witnesses just say, screw it, we do not feel safe enough to show up. What would happen if they play that?
If that happened, that could cause significant disarray in the trial. Both sides are anticipating that these witnesses are going to be there. They're planning for what the testimony will be and how to finesse it. If a witness fails to appear and they have been properly served with a subpoena, the side that served them could ask the judge to issue an arrest warrant for that witness. And usually what happens is law enforcement goes out and arrests that person, puts them in jail, transports them from jail directly to the courthouse and forces them to testify. If they still choose not to testify verbally on the stand, they could be held in contempt. So there are very serious ramifications for a witness who does not testify, even if they have a really good reason, like they're scared for their safety.
Interesting. What kind of ramifications would that be, I guess? Because I think that'd be something you'd weigh if you're that witness going, I'll deal with it. Like, it's I'd rather take the consequences over here than take the consequence of possibly being killed by one of these rabid people when they lose their mind if she's convicted or something.
Hey, Tony, that happens in gang cases all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time, witnesses are concerned about testifying against alleged gang members and that kind of thing, and they choose not to appear on their subpoenas. They're oftentimes arrested, brought into court, and in those circumstances, they choose on the stand to say, hey, I'm not saying anything, screw you guys. And what happens from there is the judge could find them in direct contempt, and usually in most jurisdictions can sentence that witness up to 90 days in jail. So they are running some serious risks if they choose not to comply with those court orders.
90 days in jail versus possibly being killed? I'd take the 90 days.
You got to weigh it.
I mean, and if you were to do that, I mean, could that shut the whole trial down? Like, if a lot of these witnesses just said, screw it, I'm not going to show up. I mean, would that immediately get into witness intimidation territory, or would the trial just continue to go on and then the witness intimidation issue would be second thought after a verdict is rendered or however this case is decided?
It could substantially impact the trial, in part because if a witness is properly served and for whatever reason they are not able, they don't testify, that side could ask for a mistrial. They could say, hey, we expected this witness to comply with the law. They didn't. It was a big part of our case. We got to do a do-over. And so then we'd be on Karen Reed trial round three. And I think any witness intimidation matters would be brought after that second possible mistrial.
That's a lot of ways this could go. Do you foresee any issues here with this thing getting off the ground? I mean, with there's so many things that do feel to be up in the air here. The issues with the blogger, the issues with possible witness intimidation. There's just so many things that could go wrong, it seems, before this thing even gets off the ground. Just from a legal standpoint, from your experience, do you think we're going to get into this trial and it's going to go through as planned, or is something going to break this up before it actually gets going?
You know, a lot of volatility with this case, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that could go wrong. We just talked about witnesses possibly choosing not to testify. Mm-hmm. You know, that being said, I think Judge Cannone is pretty darn dedicated to getting this thing to some final conclusion. And she has invested time and court resources and everything else, all the attorneys have and parties as well. And so I think we're going to reach some kind of conclusion. Now, that could be another mistrial by a hung jury, but I think we're going to get to the jury deliberation phase absent some extraordinary thing.
Had the defense of Karen Reed not gone down the third party culprit route, and I found it very interesting, and I'm sure there's probably more to the story because in a documentary you just get little nuggets, but from what we understood in the doc that came out the other week, the whole reason they went down the third party road was because of a spooky, weird individual that came up and said, you better look at the people in that house. And if you already feel like the local authorities are bending the rules quite a bit, yeah, I could see any citizen saying, look a little closer over there. I'm not saying I know anything, but look a little closer over there. And they did. But, I mean, they didn't find anything. They kind of made up a narrative. That was a weird part to me of nobody came to them with evidence saying they beat him up, this happened, and this. It was just look closer. And then the attorneys came up with this story. How do you do that? How do you just come up with a narrative that doesn't really have any evidence to support it? And you're just kind of like grabbing things here and there that say, oh, this might be part of it, maybe, but there's really, I don't know, there's not a lot there to support the whole third party, he got beat up in the house story. To this day, I don't quite understand how they went down that road or why they went down that road. And if it was a wise idea, I would almost wonder if she would be a free woman today had they not done that.
I thought that alleged anonymous tip was kind of curious too. You know, they don't disclose who it was. And, mm-hmm. and with modern investigation, you can ping a phone, which oftentimes can show its location. You can sometimes investigate IP addresses. And if it's a landline, you can oftentimes identify that. So there are ways to find out who that person was and find out why they said that. What background information did they have? Did they have some kind of evidence? Well, I didn't see any such person called at the trial.
No.
And so was this something that sort of just gave an impetus to defense to be off to the races with this alternative suspect theory? Very well could be. And there hasn't been a lot of witness statements in my appraisal that have supported them.
Well, the fact that this was said, that this person exists by one of Karen Reed's attorneys, and it's been said publicly, obviously, would they have to have record of who the hell that was? I mean, could the prosecution go and try and subpoena that person? Would it have to be revealed who came and gave this magical tip, considering it's now like the impetus of their case, and get that person on the stand and go, okay, you stated this, that's fine, but why? What was your reasoning for it? And if it comes out, well, my gut tells me they're shady cops. And that's the end of the story. So you didn't like have this whole theory that like he got beat up and killed. And, like that's all. No, that's what the attorneys came up with. That might not look very good.
Oh, I hear you. And the thing is, the general rule is defense does not have to disclose that. They do not have to disclose defense investigation. Now, if the shoe were on the other foot mm-hmm. and the prosecution received such a tip, you better believe the prosecution would be legally required to disclose all of the information and details regarding that tip and the identity of the person who gave it if they could determine that. But defense doesn't have to do that. And that's kind of a... some might say like a sly move from defense saying, hey, there's this sort of phantom person and they said some suspicious stuff. And now we have this whole alternative suspect defense.
It's weird. That seems like somewhat of a double standard. And I know we're talking about the rules, basically. But so it basically states one side can make things up completely out of thin air. Who knows if this person even exists? Because they don't have to prove he exists. They don't have to prove that this even happened. They can just say it happened. But on the other side, if they were to say, well, we got a tip that says this, and they'd have to produce that, why? Why the double standard on something like this? Why can one side just make things up out of thin air and sell it really good to a jury? And the other side, they could probably sell it really good to a jury too if they could make random facts up.
One reason is rooted in the Constitution. And so the Constitution essentially says that it applies to the government. So it applies to the government's actions. They have to provide due process. They have to provide a fair trial. They have to ensure that those rights are not violated. And part of that, the courts have decided, is disclosing inculpatory and incriminating and relevant evidence to the defense, so the defense is not caught off guard. Constitution doesn't apply to the defense. And so they don't have the same obligation, and they don't have the same legal authority that requires that obligation.
Interesting. Huh. I think they're using that to their advantage there a little bit, which, I mean, hey, you're playing by the rules that you are given, and that's what you can do. It's going to be fascinating. God knows what we'll be talking about next week when we get into this case, because it changes by the minute. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, thank you so much for joining us.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.